Okay, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, go to the bookstore and get this good little pamphlet called The Independence of the Local Church. And it deals with an important subject that really is probably going to really come into play in near days, and that is how the local New Testament church truly needs to be an autonomous functioning body so that it is free to obey the Word of God. And the problems with denominationalism and associations and organizations is that in the bad times and the time of departure from the truth, that many times those organizations become a hindrance for churches to obey the Bible. And people's strong loyalty to organizations, institutions outside of the local church throughout history in the bad times has caused churches to be hindered from obeying the Bible. And that's why a church needs to be independent, so that they can be free to obey God's word and are not hindered by the political and personal associations that they have. Turn with me tonight to Revelation chapter 2. We're talking about the New Testament church. And we want to spend a few minutes upon the authority of the New Testament church. And this is a very simple truth. The authority of the New Testament church is the Word of God. The authority of the New Testament church is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The one who is speaking to the churches is the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. God has a message for the New Testament church. And there is an expectation from God that the church is going to listen to the Word of God. Now, let's just put it in the context. Here we have what the Lord says to the church at Ephesus. Okay? This was written to the church at Ephesus. And especially, we have this direct quote to them in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 2. So, now what should the church at Ephesus be in response to what the Lord said unto them? What should their response be? Well, what could their response be? What could their response be to the Word of God? Well, they could ignore it, right? They could reject it. They'd say, no. Don't tell us that we have left our first love. That's none of your business. And don't expect us to just jump at your every whim and everything that you have to say. They could reject it. You know, some people don't reject it outwardly. A great way that Baptist people reject the Bible is ignore it. You know, they just ignore it. They don't do anything about it. They just pretend like they didn't hear the message. You know? Yeah, just, nope, you know, it's just, right over the top of their head, and they just keep on smiling and going on their way, but they just ignore it. Kind of like if we took a quiz in adult Bible class, and we asked people to turn in the quiz results. How many people do you think would turn them in? Maybe we shouldn't answer that question. Maybe it's too personal. Maybe it's too close to reality. But so there's rejection. There's ignoring. There is the fact of good intentions. Well, you know, maybe I should do something about it. Maybe I should, but most good intentions happen. What's the result of most good intentions, Josh? Nothing. Nothing. Or a person could take the Word of God as to what it really is, like they said in Thessalonica. When Paul preached in Thessalonica, what did he say? I preached and you received it as it really was. You received it as the Word of God. All right? They could have received it. They could have taken it to heart. They could have done exactly what the Lord was wanting them to do. They could what? Receive the message and repent. Now, this is just an illustration. But it's a practical illustration. Is, okay, so what is our authority? What is our authority? The authority has to be the Word of God. You know, this book, this is the Bible, all Scripture is inspired. It's God-breathed. You know, that means that if the Lord Jesus was right here today saying it right with his own mouth, this book is just as authoritative as that. The Word of God is the God-breathed Scriptures. And so there has to be this concept that the church is in direct submission under the authority of the Word of God. That has to be the whole thing. You know, if you know anything about, historical theology, Baptist churches, the number one determination of what a Baptist church is, historically, theologically, is that a Baptist church has one authority, the Word of God. Now, we could say that now that's a good statement to make, and that makes for a correct doctrinal basis of a church. But what good would it be to say that, hey, we're Baptist, that means that we go by the Bible, we don't go by what the Pope says, we don't go by the denomination says, we don't go by what so-and-so says, we go by the Bible. What good would it say that we believe that, but we don't do it? Wouldn't be a Baptist church then, would it? Because it would not be a church under the authority of God. It would not be a church under the authority of God. You know, give you an illustration of the importance of this. When I was in seminary, there was a man who was writing a lot of books about Christian counseling. He rejected psychology and Freudianism and all those different isms. And he was writing books to encourage people that the Bible, is the authority, and that it is a book about the soul, and has all the truth that you need. And his name was J. Adams. And so he wrote a lot of books, and one of his books was, he's also a Presbyterian, so one of his books was on baptism. It's a little book like, 60 pages long. And I read that book, and here's a guy who has, 2-3 doctorates and big-time professor and et cetera, and I read that book. And after I read that book, I said to myself, if he's right, I'd have to change. If he's right, I'd have to change. And so that was kind of the impetus. He was talking about the mode of baptism. Now, it seems like a very simple subject, but he said a lot of things that were supposedly written by a scholarly man. And I said, these are some things that really concern me. So I decided that I would write my thesis, my master's thesis, on the baptism of John. And the bulk of that paper that I wrote, that thesis, was studying the original languages as to what the original languages said about the mode of baptism. Of course, the Presbyterians have written books of 300-500 pages saying that the mode of baptism is sprinkling, and they use all this scholarship, and it's really not scholarship at all. But you need to be able to defend yourself against that, especially as I'm going to be a pastor. And so I did a great deal of study in original languages and in the Old Testament, New Testament, and I found out that this book written by J. Adams was the most unscholarly book could ever have been written in the name of Christianity. It was full of lies. It was full of lies. Now, I say that to say that, if the Bible is the authority, then it's the authority. If the Bible is the authority, then it's the authority. It doesn't matter if what it says, if you like what it says, if it's the authority, then you have to obey it. Then you have to do it. Otherwise, a church is not really a New Testament church. They're only using the Bible to promote whatever they're doing. But they really aren't a New Testament church. And this is an essential truth today. What is the authority? We say that Christ is the head of the church. We say that Christ is the Lord. Now, is that just a title? Is that just something you say? You say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or is it real? Is it real? Is he really the Lord? Or is it just a title? Now, I grew up in the Presbyterian church, and at catechism, they have 65 questions in their catechism book. And one of the questions is something like, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you're going through church membership, and you're supposed to say yes, And so you say yes because, that is technically correct, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But what about reality? Well, in reality, I didn't really know what it meant to believe. And in reality, Jesus Christ wasn't the Lord in my life more than a lot of things. And you know, that's true, isn't it? A lot of people, Jesus, they say they believe in the Lord Jesus, and they tell the Lord Jesus, now you stay in the corner over there, and when I need you, you come on out. And if I don't want you, you stay over there. Don't bother me. Don't interfere with my life. I want to run my life. You stay over there. Well, who's the Lord? Who's the Lord? Is Jesus the Lord? No, you're telling Jesus what to do, right? You're telling him, stay in a closet, stay in a corner, don't bother me. I'm not going to obey you. I'll obey you when I want. Well, what are you saying? You're saying that you believe in the title that he's the Lord, but he's not the Lord, is he? So we're talking about the authority of the church. The authority of the church is the Word of God. That's a vital truth. Now, if you're just a religionist, if you're just a Baptist, but you aren't born again, well, then it doesn't really, you know, the Bible is okay. But, you know, there's just some things that, you know, forget that. It's really not important. Isn't that the way it is today? It's not really important. You know, the question is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Who is the one to who is going to determine what's important in the Bible and what's not important? Do you ever figure that one out? And we have, it is an increasing reality that more and more people are saying more and more that's in the Bible is unimportant. And who's determining what is unimportant? People are. Whereas God has given us a complete revelation of truth, and who are we to tell God, well, those things aren't important. They're in your book, and they're not important. I remember, it was kind of funny, you probably heard this, but we had just had our series on Leviticus. And I quoted in our study on Leviticus, I quoted S.R. Kellogg, who said, and he was a great theologian from the 18th century, and he said, Leviticus is the greatest book in the Bible. And then quoted J. Vernon McGee in his study on Leviticus, and he said, you know, I read S.R. Kellogg, who said that Leviticus was the greatest book in the Bible, and he said, I didn't believe it. I just couldn't see how he said that. He says, but you know, after I've studied went through this series on the book of Leviticus and studied for it, now I can see how he could say that Leviticus was the greatest book in the Bible. And in that context, I think we talked about that. There was somewhere along the line that I was somewhere or someone was here and they talked about something that was obscure and unimportant, and they used the book of Leviticus as a illustration of a part of the Bible that was obscure and unimportant. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Because really we're saying, by our own ignorance or our own understanding, we are the ones who decide what is truth, what we ought to think about, what we ought to apply to our life, what is important, and really what are we doing? Minimizing the authority of the Word of God. Now, if you would, I've talked to a number of people in town, and I've heard a number of people that go to Vernon Lutheran Church. I've heard a number of them tell me that they're saved. And I can think of one person, I know exactly where he lives. He says he was saved. He said he was saved at the Billy Graham Crusade. And he goes to Vernon Lutheran Church. And certainly I wasn't going to get an argument with him. But, you know, he goes to Vernon Lutheran Church. He is saved. But, you know, baptism by immersion after their salvation, like the Bible teaches? Not important. In fact, I talked to another man years ago who was going to that church, and they had a pastor that time who was pretty open about preaching salvation. But he would tell the people, he said, you know, infant sprinkling isn't in the Bible. But that's what Lutherans do. What? What's the authority? The denomination or the Bible? You understand what I'm saying? What's the authority? Now, the reality is, if that pastor would say, you know, we're going to go by the Bible, guess what? The next week, the denomination would be writing him a letter and say, you have just lost your job and you have just lost your, if they can do it, your retirement. You have just lost your pension because you are no longer a Missouri Synod Lutheran. Well, so in this case, what is the authority? You know what the authority is? The denomination. And they decide what you practice. Or maybe you could say, maybe the real authority is money. And money's the boss. Because if you obey the Bible, you might lose some money. Right? But who is the boss? It's the Lord Jesus. And what did he give us to test if he is really the boss? The Bible. And we could dealt with this from a historical standpoint. People say today, well, mode of baptism isn't important. I went to a university and the vice president said to me, baptism is not important. Really? What about the millions of people who died for believers' baptism? What about the people, the millions of people who died because they did not believe, they believed the Bible, that the elements of the Lord's Supper were symbolical. They were not mystically changed into the real blood and body of Christ. How about the millions of people who died for that doctrine? You know, I think, you know, these are just illustrations of, but what is the authority of the church? And so the authority of the church is the Bible. So why do you think that there's so much departure from the Bible today? Well, I think the real issue is because people really don't want the Bible to tell them how to live. And the Bible really isn't important. And the implication of that is it really isn't real important about what you believe other than maybe salvation. But you know how that goes. You know, how it eventually goes, be like Billy Graham, who said, well, people can get to heaven without salvation. You know, you give a little bit and it's just going to keep going, doesn't it? And it all starts it can start in our personal life. It can start just in the authority of God's Word in our life. Now, the key to the Bible being the authority in our life, and we're going to stop on this verse, 1 John chapter number 2. How can the Bible be so important? How does that happen in your life that the Bible is so important? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One. This speaks about the fact when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes within your heart, and the Holy Spirit gives you the unction to be able to know the truth. The priesthood of the believer is not the liberty to believe whatever you want to believe, like some institutions are teaching. The priesthood of the believer is the ability, the unction from God, to be able to recognize the truth. And it wasn't with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't recognize the truth. And when you get saved, there's something that really becomes important in your life. The truth. And the truth is found in God's Word. And when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we can understand this book. And with that unction comes the recognition. This is the truth. This is the truth. And we could explain that further, but I guess we don't really have time. But the how can a New Testament church exist? By the authority of God's Word. People that are saved who recognize the authority of God's Word because the Holy Spirit lives within them. Now let me ask you a question. This is a kind of application. Do you know what the Bible says, young person? Do you want to know what the Bible says? Do you want to know what the Bible says? You know, a lot of people don't believe much or don't have many convictions because they don't really want to know what the Bible says. If you really think about it, that is really a part of the spirit of the new birth. Wanting to know what the Bible says. And then, when you find out what the Bible says, with that is the desire to obey what the Bible says. That is the basic bottom line of real Christianity in action. The Holy Spirit, who is the truth, reveals and opens the Bible, which is the truth. And in our heart, there's a hunger to know the truth. And then there is the ability and the desire to obey the truth. That's real Christianity. And that's what a New Testament church should be all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the simple truth of what is our authority. And Lord, I pray that as we have presented it simply, we would take that to heart. And Lord, each one of us either add to that spirit or hindering that spirit. We ought to all love and want to obey the truth. And Lord, there may be some here tonight who aren't saved. And because they aren't saved, the Bible is not authority in their life. And it's all up to man's opinion and whatever they think. But Lord, I pray that even this truth would reveal to them they need to be born again into the family of God and receive a new heart, a new understanding, a spiritual mind, spiritual understanding, and the power and the person, the Holy Spirit, to obey and to know the truth. And we pray that, Lord, you'd use it in that end tonight. Well, heads are bowed and eyes closed. You're here tonight and you say, you know, I need to be saved. The Spirit of God is speaking my heart about my need to really be born into the family of God. And you are concerned about that spiritual need in your life. Say, Pastor, would you just pray for me personally? Because I recognize I need to be saved, and I'm concerned about that. Anyone here? Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay, praise God. Okay, anyone else? You're concerned about your spiritual need to be born again. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm a Christian, but my attitude towards the Bible is woefully misguided. And the Spirit of God is speaking to me about my need to surrender my life to the authority of Jesus Christ. Anyone here tonight, God is speaking to your heart about that. I need to surrender my life to the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Bible. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? God is speaking to your heart about that. Anyone else? All right? Praise the Lord for that. Lord, now I pray you'd use this truth, and may your Holy Spirit draw those who need Jesus Christ to him. Help them to see the darkness of our sin and our sinful heart and the beauty of the Holy One, the Lord Jesus, and the beauty of righteousness and the reality of judgment that took place on the cross, or the judgment that will have to take place at the end of our life. And so, Lord, work according to your plan in Jesus' name. Amen.